Yeah, you can blame my wife for everything. Well, it's really great to be with you, and I think that you're all very, very brave people to come and hear this seminar completely in English. I'll try to speak slowly and try to keep things as understandable as possible. If you find I'm speaking too fast, then kind of just wave away. Now, you've heard we come from South Africa. And I mentioned in the seminar this afternoon that, I grew up in the apartheid time. It's interesting to note, when you think about South Africa is actually a very multicultural country. Here in Germany, you have one official language. We have 11. Okay, we have English, we have Afrikaans, we have Ndebele, we have Pedi, Swato, Swazi, Tsongo, Tswana, Vinda, Xhosa, and Zulu. So we have a slight communication problem when we are trying to get things going. But I grew up when all these different people groups in South Africa, they were not living with each other, but they were living kind of next to each other, alongside each other. Meaning that if you grew up in a white family, then you lived in a white community. If you grew up in a colored family, like I did, then you just got kind of lived in a colored community. And if you grew up in a black family, you grew up in a black community. So the communities were very separate from each other. And we only really mixed when we kind of went off to the supermarkets. You know, go off to the South African equivalent of Makau for Edeka. And you know, that's where we kind of had some meeting together. Otherwise, we hardly had any contact. And I think that was the evil genius, in a sense. This clever, but still evil, about apartheid. It kept people apart from each other. So we never really got to learn about each other. And we went to Thailand with OMF International in 1984. And we were away for 4 years. And we came back to South Africa for 1 year for what we call home assignment. And this is our first visit back, and we're still in the apartheid situation. And so here we were asked to go to a place called Malmesbury. Malmesbury is a small community, a small town, about maybe 60 kilometers away from Cape Town. And it's a farming community. It's basically a community of white farmers. And they had very little contact, even. For them to go to Cape Town 60 kilometers away, for them that was a major outing. And some of them had been maybe once in their lives. Okay, just give an idea of the thinking of the people. So here we are, the two of us are asked to go and take this meeting, this women's meeting, farmers' wives, and here we have to speak to them about mission. So first of all, I stand up, and you could see already, you know, here they were, you know, looking, who is this fellow? Who is this guy? And I gave my presentation, and after the presentation, I opened up for questions, and I asked them, so, what would you like to know? And the very first question was, so you come from Thailand? So I said, no, I don't come from Thailand. I work in Thailand, but I come from Cape Town, South Africa. Yeah, but you are Thai. You were born in Thailand. I said, no, I was not born in Thailand. I was born right here in Cape Town. But originally you are Thai. I said, no, I am South African born, and I was brought up in South Africa. And I'm a colored South African. And you could see the mouths fell open. And somebody said, it's a miracle. But you need to understand, the only colored people that they had ever had contact with were people who were working on the farm. And most of these people were uneducated, and a lot of them were actually, unfortunately, alcoholic. So that's kind of the picture they have, you see. And it's the first time that ever met someone like me who had actually been to school and could count one and one as two. And, you know, and then, of course, then I come along with a German wife as well. That also blew their minds completely. And they looked at me, didn't quite know what to do with me because, you know, it was very difficult. You could see mentally and emotionally they struggled. This didn't fit their picture. This did not fit their mindset. And then a very interesting and a very moving thing happened. One of these women got up, came over to me, and she threw her arms around me, and she hugged me, and in very South African fashion, she kissed me on the cheek, you know, a big, fat, wet one. And she said, "Today a miracle has happened." She said, "God's done something for me today. God's changed me today. And he's done something. He's shown me that all my thinking today, up to this day, is all wrong." And I felt that was an amazing transformation that had taken place in this woman's life, and in fact in all their lives, as you realized it was contact with each other that was really, really important. Now, when we think that, that's an example from South Africa. Now we sometimes think, you know, here in Germany, we say, well, if you're a German and you compare to other people groups, like the Turkish people or the Arab people or people who come from Asia, then you say, well, there are many differences, many cultural differences between Germans and Asians or Germans and Middle Easterners and so on. Well, even the Asians have a lot of differences. And we look at Asians and we say, these are Asians. Well, actually, the Thai people are very different from the Chinese. And the Chinese people are very different from the Koreans. And the Koreans are very different from the Indians. I mean, how would you like to be told, now you and the Americans are very much the same? And, you know, that's exactly the way they feel when we lump them all together and we say, you know, all Asians are the same. They're not. And here's an Indian who's joking around about Chinese and Indians. Oh, we have a problem with sound.
Some Asian people, that's good. Hey, Chinese? Woo! Saying that could be your last name. Woo! That's who can't do business together. Chinese people and Indian people cannot do business together. Because Indians cannot live without a bargain, and Chinese people cannot give you a bargain. Their objective is to get every penny from you, and ours is to keep every penny.
Okay, maybe you didn't get all that, but this is what he says. You know, are you Chinese? There's one person in the audience who's Chinese, so he says, are you Chinese? Who? He says, oh, say, that could be your last name. Who? And then he goes and he says, Chinese and Indians cannot do business together. Indian people cannot live without a bargain, and Chinese people cannot give you a bargain. Do you understand the word bargain? You know, if you say something costs 40 euro, and then you go and you say to the person, come on, you can give it to me for 25 euro, you know, and then he says, well, 35, and then eventually you buy it for 30 euro. So that's bargaining, okay? And so he says the Chinese people cannot give you a bargain, and then he says the Chinese objective is to take every penny from you, and the Indian objective is to keep every penny. So he's just showing us in a funny way that even amongst Asian people, there are many, many differences. And this is not between Western and Asian. This is between Asian and Asian. So here we notice that throughout the world, we have different cultures. And even in Asia, these cultures are very, very different. Now, the whole world is totally in motion at the moment. In the last, I would say the last 20 years, we've noticed this even more, that the whole world is in motion. There are 174 million people in the world who are living outside their own country. That's more than twice the population of Germany. And the Asians are the second largest group, and about 50 or 60 million people are Chinese living outside China. And that is actually increasing. It's not getting less, it's increasing all the time. And 12 years ago, we were in Germany for 1 year. And when we first came to Germany and we told people about Asia, a lot of people, a lot of our friends did not know very much about Asia. My wife would talk about cooking inside a wok, and most people didn't know what a wok was. Today, you all know what a wok is. You can find Asian restaurants all over the place. You can buy Asian food all over the place. And I was in a restaurant in Bielefeld, which is where we live. I was in a restaurant in Bielefeld just the other day, and the restaurant was quite full. And then I noticed there wasn't one German person in that restaurant. There were Arabs. We had some Turkish people there. There were some people from Russia there. At least I think they were Russians, because they were saying, da, 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 net, net. And there were even a couple from Sri Lanka I saw. And there was me, but not one German. And you just notice how you can stand in the middle of the city, and you can hear all these different languages. You can hear Chinese, you can hear Thai, I've even heard Indonesian, I've heard obviously Turkish and then Arabic and all these different languages. But you stand there and you suddenly realize, even here in Germany, things have changed. And we have this complete mix of peoples that are coming in. The population in Germany and in many, many, many European countries is increasing, but it's not increasing by birth. In other words, unfortunately, this is the bad news. The German race is actually dying out. Do you realize that? Do you know what the average age in Germany is? What is the average age in Germany? The average age in Thailand is less than 20 years of age. What is it in Germany? 80 years. Well, it's getting there. It's getting there. Now, the average age in Germany is 43. And this is the bad news, that if we don't see more German babies, coming along, in 2050, that's only 40 years away, in 2050, the average age in Germany is going to be 63. So guys, here's my advice to you. Don't just depend on your state pension. There's not going to be enough people to pay into the state pension for you to get something out of it. And, this is something for us to think about here. And there's a man by the name of Andrew Walls. He's a missiologist and also a researcher. And he says that in the year 2050, in 2050, Germany is going to need about 1 million foreigners per year just so that the country can keep going. And in his opinion, he says that most of these people are going to come from China and from Indonesia. Now, I cannot prove that to you, but I just find it interesting that he makes this comment that most of these foreigners will come from Asia. Now, we know already there's a shortage of skills here in Germany, and we know already that Germany is asking for foreign skilled people to come into the country and to come and work here. But you have to think about this. And there's a man named Max Frisch, you might know who I'm talking about here. And he actually made this comment one day, "Wir riefen Arbeitskräfte und es kamen Menschen." Now, we called for workers, but people came. And when they come with their families, they come with their wives, their husbands, they come with their children. And we're not just talking about workers here, we're talking about people. And that's the world that we live in today. Some people will only stay for a short time. They may stay for 5 years, for 6 years, and then they go back home. Others are going to remain, and they will make Germany their home. Just to give you some idea of the movement, 100,000 Chinese leave their homeland every year to go and study overseas. 30,000 return to China every year. And at least 3,000 go back as believers in Jesus Christ. Now, that statistic is old. In the year 2008, this is something I just received about 2 weeks ago, in the year 2008, that number almost doubled. There were about 198,000 Chinese who left China in the year 2008. Then speaking about, here in Germany, we have about 80,000 Chinese, and there are 60 Chinese churches and Bible groups in Germany. Did you know that? 60 Bible groups and Chinese churches. And these are, most of these people have come to know Jesus here in Germany. They didn't come here as Christian. And I found it fascinating. I was in a church in Essen, and there were a few German men in the congregation, in this church, and they had come to know Jesus because of their wives. Their wives had come to know the Lord Jesus, and these men then became Christians because of their wives. And you find it very interesting what God is doing with the movement of foreigners. Japan, almost 1 million Japanese are presently in foreign countries. And a Japanese, when they leave Japan, then they are much more likely to believe. Now, you might say, well, Japan is not like China. Japan is an open country. You can go there as a missionary. You can preach the gospel. You can share about Jesus. No problem. Yes, from a legal point of view, there's no problem. But again, you need to understand the worldview. You need to understand the thinking of the people. For them, to become a Christian is to become like a traitor to your country. And I'll show you a video clip later on where you'll see that happening. So in 10 years, 800,000 Japanese have visited Germany. And this is the great news. Every year, about 1,500, 1,600 Japanese go back to Japan as believers in Jesus Christ.
And how does it connect it with the verse of Jesus Christ? I think many of us have so many questions to ask, but I think we have few people to answer them. Everything is different. Everything is different. It's kind of irritating because people know you're from Africa. They say, oh, well, you're from Africa? Yes. Some people, they say, like, do you live in the forest? Nobody's born in the forest. You can't live in the forest. You have to live in a house. In the United States, people are not friendly. You can find somebody walking in the street by himself, you know, don't even talk, you know. You cannot go to the house of somebody who you don't know. They are all Americans. You call the police, why this guy come to my house and I don't know him. But in Sudan, they can ask you, have you got lost? Are you new to this place? They can ask you. You say, I'm new to this place. They can show you where you are. You can even talk with them. It is important we ask them, how do people work in this area? How do people feel when you ask somebody, now can you show me a way? How do they feel, you know? That's difficult. You cannot even ask him because these are different people. Huh? That's really difficult. I don't know. How are we going to be acquainted with this life here? It's a great change, actually.
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's a great shame, actually. That's the perspective from an African. Now, we're not saying that the perspective from an African or from an Asian, that everything that they say is correct. No. But what we are saying is, you have a culture meeting another culture, a worldview meeting another worldview, and there's a clash, and people don't understand each other. So that's the question we must ask ourselves here. You know, how do we react when we see people who come from a different situation? How do we react when we see foreigners? Do we react in welcoming them? Or do we feel afraid? And in some situations, we have to be honest, we do feel afraid. We feel fear. We're not quite sure how to behave in that particular situation. But, my friends, this is what the world is like today in the 21st century. There are these movements of people at all times. And that is what's going to be happening in our world. That's what you're going to see more and more here, even in Germany. And so the big question that comes to us, especially to us as Christians, is, are we going to close our eyes to what is happening? Or are we going to open our hearts and open our arms as well to foreigners who are coming into the situation? Think about the book of Ruth in the Bible. Here was this woman who came from Moab, and she came into Israel. And think, and just read the story and see how she was accepted in that situation. And there, as a foreigner, she came in and she became the great-grandmother of David. She was accepted into the situation. In Hebrews chapter 13, we are told, do not forget to entertain strangers. And in English, we use the word hospitality. I find the German word actually easier in a sense to... It means so much more when you talk about Gastfreundschaft. And you say friendship to guests, friendship to foreigners, friendship to strangers is actually the meaning of the word. So here we have this intercultural contact. And we, as I said a few moments ago, this is the world. This is what's going to be happening more and more. We'll see more and more people moving around. What are some of the things that we can learn? Well, first of all, I think intercultural contact, multicultural contact, gives us the opportunity to grow as people. Even for ourselves, we can grow.
The English believe it's a slur on your host's food if you don't clear your plate. Whereas the Chinese feel you're questioning their generosity if you do. At HSBC, we never underestimate the importance of local knowledge. Which is why we have local banks, staffed by local people, in more countries than anyone else. HSBC, the world's local bank.
Okay. What was the problem there? What was the cultural problem? The one culture believes, you know, to show honor to your host, you have to eat everything in front of you. Finish your plate. The other one believes if you finish your plate, then you haven't had enough. And they feel like, you know, they haven't been hospitable enough, so they bring you more. And can you see the clash of the culture there? And the one person just keeps eating and keeps eating, and the other one keeps bringing more and keeps bringing more. Now, when you have cross-cultural contact, you begin to learn, you begin to understand different ways in which people react And we learned a lot of this in Thailand. We learned in Thailand, whenever you eat something or you drink something, you always leave a little bit behind. Then people know you've had enough to eat. Now, I am a South African, married with a German wife, but she was also born in South Africa. We have been in Germany now for almost 3 years. Before that, we were in Thailand for almost 23 years. In the last 12 years, I had the privilege of visiting about 20 countries, and I got to know Christians as well as people who are not Christians. And this, for me, has been a very, very enriching experience. I've learned a lot. I've learned different perspectives. And every single experience has taught me something. Now, here's my question to you. How many foreign friends do you have? How many people, how many contacts do you have with people who are foreigners? And I would like to make a suggestion to you that you seek out contact with foreign people. Start with a Christian, if possible. If you know that there's a Christian Chinese or a Japanese or whatever it may be, start with someone like that. Have some time with them. Spend time with them. Visit them at home. Have them visit you at home. I chatted once with a Turkish man, and I chatted once with a Chinese man. And both people, completely separate from each other, both of them said, I have never, ever seen a German home from the inside. And, you know, people are very, in other cultures, people are very hospitable. And they love to visit and to receive visits as well. And they love to entertain. And so that's the suggestion I have to you. You know, visit with people, make friends. And if you have a friend who is a Christian from another culture, then even go to their church and have them come to visit your church. Now, you need to be prepared to do things a bit differently. Okay? I showed somebody this video clip and they said, oh man, this is a bit hectic. Oh, we have a problem here. He said, this is a bit hectic. So which country do you think that was? That was Thailand. And that is a church in Thailand. Now, when you go to a church like that, there may be some things that you feel uncomfortable with. First of all, things are pretty lively. And you may find the noise level is really high. I mean, when they sing and when they play music, it is like really loud. And the louder, the better. And many Asian churches have a very different prayer style or worship style. For example, in Korea, when you're in a church there and it's time to pray, we don't do it the way we do it here in Germany, where one person prays at a time. What happens there is everybody gets up and everybody starts praying at the same time at the top of their voices. Again, you know, noise levels are, as I said, the louder the better. And we find some of those things very strange. But we need to understand that much of this is also very cultural. This is nothing, sometimes nothing to do with whether one is charismatic or not charismatic. It's to do with how people express themselves. And Asians are, for them, body language is very important. So they do things differently. And Asians are also very passionate about the way in which they do things. They say that when they come to the Western world, they say that Westerners are only passionate when they get angry. Otherwise, you know, the Thais would say, "Choy," which means, you know, you don't seem to show any emotion whatsoever. The only emotion we show is negative emotion. And they say, "Oh, I'd love to see some positive emotion as well." So things are different. Now, I'm not trying to suggest in any way that you or I need to change how we are. We don't have to change our personality. That's not what I'm suggesting. What I am suggesting is that we understand that different people have different ways of doing things. Different people have different ways of expressing themselves. And you know, when you begin to move around, when we begin to make these friends, when you begin to go to these church services, or you talk with people, you suddenly begin to realize that we need to make a difference between the main issues and the side issues. And many times, it's the side issues that we make so important. If you look at sometimes problems in churches, when churches have difficulties, when churches split because they have problems, many, many times the problem is because of a side issue, not because of the main issue. And then the main issue comes out that whether you are Thai, a Thai Christian, or a Korean Christian, or a Chinese Christian, or a German Christian, the main issue is that we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. That's the main issue. That we have relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that Jesus has called us into his body. Not just the local body where we are, but his worldwide, his global body. And it's fascinating to be there with different Christians from different cultures, to worship together with them, to talk together with them, and to hear about what Jesus has done in their lives, and to see the differences that he has brought in their lives as well. It's easy to look at other cultures and to say, well, you know, that's really strange. But when one has dealings with other cultures as well, it helps us to look at our own culture. And we begin to realize that, yeah, we also have our problems. We also have our issues that we have to deal with. In Revelation chapter 7, we have a picture of John, a vision that he saw. And he says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" All peoples, all nations, tribes, languages, standing before the throne. And with what is happening today in the 21st century, we can get a small bit of that already when we see we have these different folk from all over the world and we can share together and worship together. And then, secondly, not only do we have opportunities for growth, we also have opportunities for mission. When we spend time with foreigners, relationship is key. It's very important to build relationships with people. And with most people in Asia, you can ask all kinds of questions. You can ask them how many children they have. You can ask them how old the children are. You can ask them if they've been married. You can ask them how much their house costs. You can ask them how much they earn when they go to work. All kinds of questions you can ask. And people go back and forth, and you can build relationship through these different questions. And think about it this way: when a Chinese student or a Japanese student or any other person comes to Germany for the very first time, they feel lost, they feel confused, they feel lonely, they feel without orientation, and that is the time when they need local friends the most. That's the time when we can really get alongside people and we can help them in their time of need.
Came to study in the UK, the biggest problem I had was to be alone and feel lonely. Unfortunately, because it was quite expensive to call home, I could only call once a week. And during that time, I'll obviously tell them that I'm doing okay. And sometimes I even have to put up a brave face and say and not tell them the difficulties I might have, because I didn't want them to be disappointed or worried about me. But also because they may not understand what I was going through, coming from a completely different background. I had thought about going home many times, dropping everything I had and just buy a ticket and go home. But air ticket was very expensive. And it was a lot to ask for my parents to support me financially to study here. And to ask to go home every term was impossible. Language was obviously a problem too. I thought I could understand English quite well on paper, but to actually speak and listen to the language on a daily basis was not easy. What I also missed was the fresh produce and food that I could get back home. And it took me a while to get used to getting my vegetables from a packet rather than freshly looking beautiful greens that I could choose from in the market. And other things to get used to would be the weather, because it's always dark and miserable. That's at least how I remembered it anyway. And the days are much shorter than I used to. And therefore, to be alone in a dark and small room was even more miserable than it would sound now. To overcome the problem of loneliness, I naturally drew myself towards other Chinese students. And actually through them, then I got to know people from the church who are local people, whom I then found were as welcoming, as friendly as some of these Chinese friends I've met. One of my best friends I've made when I first came was this British couple who took me into their family. And I still remember when they first cooked me a very nice Sunday lunch, my first British Sunday lunch. And that's when I actually felt I was at home again. In church, I've learned a lot about the British culture and the people. But it's also through the church that I felt most accepted as who I was. It didn't really matter what colour my skin was when I was in church. I was just loved as Junie.
So Junie, she came to know Jesus Christ because somebody invited her to Sunday lunch. And that's not the first time I've heard that story. I've heard that from a number of different people who said, because somebody took me into their home, gave me some lunch, I became interested and I wanted to hear what it was that they believed. And here are just a few practical things that we can think about. You know, when folk come here to Germany, German is not an easy language to learn. I've learned a few languages, and I'm not joking when I say to you, German was the hardest language to learn. It's a very nice language, but it is difficult. So people need help with that. Then, you know, there are things like visas and work permits and resident permits. And, you know, think about, you know, if they have a family, to think about things like Kindergeld and driver's licenses. Think about, you know, them trying to buy a house, or buy a car or get a car or drive to find, how do I actually go about getting a driver's license? These are things that are really, really difficult. How do I pay for car insurance? Now, these may be things that we don't think about so much, but they really are very important. Which mobile phone do I go for? There's just so much different, so many different companies. So do I go for one which is prepaid? Do I go for one which is a contract? It's just so helpful to get advice from people who know about these things, and they can tell you, look, you know, this is a really good contract. You don't pay so much money for it. Or if you need to speak a whole lot, if you need to call overseas, this one is cheaper. So things like that, some practical helps there. learning to some do's and some don'ts. Like, you know, don't cook your food with too much garlic if you're living in a place where there's a whole lot of students all together. One thing which for me, as a foreigner here in this country, was like really, really completely confusing was, how do you separate your garbage here? You know, in Bielefeld we have this gelbe Sack, and then we have this, you know, then of course there's bio, and then then you have to put your glass in some place, and then you have to separate the brown glass from the white glass, and then there's a paper, and okay, there's a certain kind of paper that must go there, and then somewhere you throw away your old clothing, and then whatever's left over you can put into Restmüll, you know. And I thought, you know, in Thailand, you just throw everything in one place. Simple. Now, you know, it's a great idea to separate your garbage, but just to think about foreigners coming in and having to learn all these things, and it's just very helpful to have someone to say to you, you know, this is what you do here, and this is what you do here. And, you know, how to open a bank account, or, you know, which credit card company do you go for? These are all the different practical helps that we can give to people and to just to help people. When we arrived, it was just great to have somebody who, for the first couple of days, took us around Bielefeld, showed us the different things, helped me to get my visa sorted out, took us off to the Kindergeld place and get that all sorted out. And, you know, when you're a foreigner, and especially if you're not a Christian, and you see someone is taking the time and the trouble with you, you have so much opportunity then to start chatting with people about your faith. And you can listen to them and ask them questions as well. So you're a Buddhist. What do Buddhists believe? Or you're a Muslim. What do Muslims believe? Or whatever the case may be. And you can start talking back and forth. And people are very open to hearing and to listening what it is that you believe. They also have lots of questions, because when they go to language school, they are hearing about the German culture, but they may not be hearing it from Christians. So what they hear is, they hear about the church history in Germany. And they hear about Luther. And they hear about Roman Catholicism. And they hear about Protestantism. So here you have Katholisch und Evangelisch. So what does that mean? And they come and they ask you these questions. Now, folks, when someone comes to you and says to you, please explain to me, what is the difference between Katholisch and Evangelisch? Then, you know, rather than trying to explain to them all about the Roman Catholic Church and then what happened, you can just say to them, I tell you what, why don't we just take a look at the Bible and see what that says? And there you have an opportunity to sit down with folk and just read through some of the Bible stories with them and explain to them what Jesus says in this particular situation. You know, be wise, as Jesus said, be wise as serpents, you know, harmless as doves. Use every opportunity. Peter says this. Use every opportunity to share your faith, to use that opportunity and to do so with wisdom, to do so with respect and with gentleness. Be aware also that these folk who come from overseas, these foreigners, they sometimes have very different ideas about the spirit world. When we were in Thailand, for a number of years, we had to learn about what people thought and what people felt about the spirit world. And this is coming more and more right here into Germany as well, where people are going off into esoteric, when people are going off into all kinds of beliefs. But for Asians, the spirit world is very, very important. I tell the story quite often about a man called Robert and his Malay friend Abdullah. And Robert and Abdullah were friends. They did things together. Robert is he's a man who comes from England. And one day they went off to have a late evening meal together, a late supper. And they must have eaten about maybe 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening. And they had this very, very spicy curry. And that night, Robert went back home, tried to fall asleep, and you know, his stomach was just boiling away with all this spicy curry. And you know what it's like when you have heartburn and you don't know what to do. And he fell asleep, and then he had some bad dreams. And the next morning, Abdullah came to visit him, and Abdullah was very upset. And Abdullah said to him, "You know, Robert, last night I had a very bad dream. I dreamt that my parents had died in a bad accident." And Robert's reaction was, "Oh, my dear friend, we all ate too much curry last night, and it was the curry that made you that gave you this bad dream." And Abdullah was so upset, he walked out of the room. And Robert's reaction was, "What's wrong with him?" But you see, for Abdullah, this dream was something very, very important. He had had this bad dream, and he was wondering if the spirits were trying to give him some sort of message. And Robert didn't understand that. Now, how would you respond to something like that? He wanted Robert to tell him what the meaning of the dream was. Robert obviously didn't know. We might not know what the dream was, but think about even some of the Bible stories. Where do we hear about dreams in the Bible? Where do we read about dreams in the Bible? We read in many, many places about dreams. We know that Daniel, in the book of Daniel, there was King Nebuchadnezzar, and he had this dream. And Daniel came, and Daniel, by the power of God, was able to interpret the dream for him. We hear of Joseph. We read of Joseph in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, where God spoke through dreams. And dreams are very important in these cultures still today. Now, Robert did not know the meaning. You or I may not know the meaning of that dream. But here is one way in which we can deal with that situation. We can say to Abdullah, "Abdullah, I know that you are upset by this. And I can see that you really are concerned about your parents. Now, I tell you what, why don't we pray for your parents and pray that God will keep his hand of protection over your parents? And Abdullah, I'm a Christian. And when I pray in the name of Jesus, the Messiah. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to pray for your parents right now." And you know, we were working amongst Muslim people for many, many years. And only once in all the time, only one person said to me, he did not want me to pray for him. For all the other people that I offered to pray for them, they all said, "Yes, please, I'd love it if you would pray for me." And here are ways in which we can share with people that not only do we share the gospel with them, but we are sharing with them that the faith that we have in God through Jesus Christ is a real faith. It's something that's dynamic. It's something that's here for us today. It's not just a religion. It's a relationship. And that's what we communicate in situations such as that. Many of these people will not stay in Germany. They will go back. And I find it rather interesting to read an article. I think I'll skip by some of this here. And I would like to just show this to you. This is an article written in Die Welt. Deutschland, eine Karte Schmiede für die Welt. And did you know that Chile's president, the foreign minister of Afghanistan, and also the deputy secretary general of the UN, of the United Nations, all studied here in Germany? Did you know that the king of Thailand studied in Europe? That even Pol Pot of Cambodia studied overseas? And Deng Xiaoping, former chairman of Communist China, also studied overseas. Now think about it this way. Imagine they had come into contact with Christians who were able to share the gospel with them. What could God not have done in their lives? And what a fantastic opportunity we have of reaching people who may go back and make an impact in China, in Japan, in Arabia, in Iran, or wherever the case may be, because they are reached with the gospel right here in Germany. And we don't know what the Lord might do, but that's the challenge that comes to us as we think about those words where Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go overseas. What's happening is these people are coming here, and we can reach them with the gospel right here. And they then can go, and they can reach their country with the gospel. That's the multicultural world we live in today. And my prayer for you all and for us all is that we can take hold of this challenge, that we can take hold of this new trend that is happening, and that God would use each one of us in reaching His world, even right here on our doorstep. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much that You are a good God. Thank You, Lord, that You have the nations on Your heart. And we pray, Lord, for every single person who comes to this country and to many other countries in the Western world and other places as well. Father, my prayer is that You will bring them into contact with Your people, and that we, Your people, will have the courage to reach out and to share Jesus with them. And we pray that they will go back with Jesus in their hearts, and they will further share Jesus with their own country people. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.